Blog Talk Radio.
Just think about it. You just been listening to our national anthem. The age of freedom has come. Until you're ready to work for it, evil will not let it happen. Trust me. You have to be prepared for your freedom. Good evening. This is your brother Elohim. I'd like to start with an assertion. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reap what you sow. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of the enlightenment. I will get what I want. Like Mama said, be careful what you ask for. You just might get it. Our slogan is love is the act and make others feel good, okay? And normally for the first 5 minutes, we always talk about love. And there's four different segments that we deal with when we talk about love, or four different thought processes that we get into when we talk about love. And they're emotion, your heart or neural net, action, or reap what you sow, and the different languages between men and women. Now, we did what we were just talking about last week, so this time we're going to deal with the different languages between men and women. And I always like to go to an example that was given to me by a friend of mine. I like that example. And we'll talk about the different languages between men and women, okay? If you're in a car, right, I'm sure he'll recognize this. If you're in a car and the window is down and it's starting to get a little chilly in the car, well, a guy will say, yo, man, put the window up. It's cold in here. Okay, so you put the window up. But the lady won't do that. She'll say, you know, it's getting kind of chilly in here. And it's up to you to figure out what she's talking about. Put the window up, man. It's cold. You know, although some guys don't get the message, right? But that's the difference. It's because of the way we were raised in this society. See, women are raised not to tell the man what to do because the man is the head of the house. That's how the women are raised. So women, when they talk to men, they do a suggestive thing rather than just straight up tell you what to do. Unless you're in a relationship for a while and you kind of get to know each other a little better. But that's basically what be going on, you know? So this is why we have this problem, because of the way we've been raised in this particular culture, you know? Well, the paradigm has shifted, okay? Women, you know, a lot of women, they no longer want to be this sit-at-home mom cooking biscuits waiting for dad to come home from work. You know, they ain't trying to go out like that. They working, they got their own money, they got their jobs and stuff, they got, they're very opinionated, and they can read now. Whereas back in the day, almost none of us could read, but we're all literate. We all can read now. So they getting information like we getting information, okay? So when you're dealing with your spouse, you need to think in terms of reap what you sow. That's the primary key to a healthy relationship, okay? Because what you're putting out, okay, you're going to get it back. And if you're not, if you don't want to get what you're putting out back, don't put it out. Now, the women simmer kind of slow sometimes. They'll sit back and they'll chill and they'll take what you're saying in. And then all of a sudden they get pissed off and they start talking about stuff, man, you didn't think about for months. You'd be saying, where in the world does this come from? I don't remember. That was so long ago. But she's been storing this all this time because she didn't want to, what they call in the movie, she didn't want to exhale, okay? So she's been storing this information up, you know? And so what you have to do is set your relationship to the point that she don't have to store. And she can actually relate to you on a day-to-day basis as to what's going on. But see, now here's the thing, okay? Language takes on more than one paradigm. There's the language, verbal language, right? There's the physical language, sign language, the little looks, the things they do with their eyes, the way they move their hands and stuff like that there. All that's part of the language. And and then there's, that's the two parts to the language. They got the verbal language, okay, the sign language, right? And then it's a conscious language that they're giving off too. And you have to kind of be aware of all those three things. There was another part of that language, but it's just my mind. You might have excused me tonight. I am a little tired. But let's go in. Let's get it in, okay? So when you're dealing with love now, it's outside of the relationship. When you go and you're dealing with groups, it's the same concept because we're not raised in the same household. Even though we're all raised by the same culture, we're not raised in the same household. So there's different mindsets coming from different groups. And based on the age of the group and how much they have been through, what they have been through in this culture, you're going to have a different conversation. You follow what I'm saying? Now, if you're a man's man, you know what I'm saying, when you're dealing with other men, they can't just say anything out of their face. Or we have to go outside. But I'm sorry. Let's take this outside. You know what I mean? If you're a man's man. But sometimes, even a man's man, you have to turn it down. And I'm older than dirt. And I'm still trying to tone it down a little bit because I ain't got no problem with throwing the first punch. Because I learned back in the day, the gangster throws the first punch. That's what I learned. So I'm not going to let nobody get the first blow in. That's going to come from me. So, you know, but there's a lot that we have to consider when we're talking about love. There's a lot that we have to consider when we're talking about love is an act to make others feel good. Because there's a lot goes into that. Because sometimes this thing that you can do to make them feel good can make you feel terrible. Now, how do we wrestle with that? Wait a minute. Yeah, I don't like doing that. I don't like going there, you know? That's where the politician comes in, the art of compromise. Sometimes you have to do what you don't like, and sometimes they're going to have to do what they don't like to get this thing working. That's the same thing in groups. Sometimes you have to take the lesser of two evils, like we did in the last election. We really took the lesser of two evils in the last election. So, you know, but that was all that was afforded to us. So we took that and we moved on. You know what I mean? It's been a rocky road, rocky, bumpy road, but we moved on, you know? Now, that's the conversation part, the language part, okay? So we have to get used to the difference in the two languages, because a lot of times females will suggest stuff to you and you don't hear it, you know? And rather than create an argument about it, they just let it go. But that's why sometimes it takes so long for it to come out, because they'll be saying stuff in a language that you're oblivious to. And they don't know that you can't hear what they're saying, even though they're speaking words. You know, how Mama used to say back in the day, in one ear and out the other. Well, some of the language that they use, we just can't hear it. It's just amazing because we haven't trained our minds to listen for it, you know. It's one thing to hear, but it's another thing to listen, you know. So we have to train our mind to listen for this language that they have when they be telling us stuff. And I don't care what relationship you be in, they always say, I'm trying to tell you, how come you don't hear, you don't listen to nothing I say? It always comes to pass. So, and that's because there's two different languages, and the languages have to be sorted out. Now, all the languages from male to female aren't the same. The languages vary from female to female, from male to male. So it's a lot of learning that you have to do when we talk about love, and we talk about love as an act to make others feel good. It's a lot of learning, studying that you have to do to really make that other person feel good, you know? And when things are done that's out of the ordinary, they don't have to be done. You have to give those accolades up. You have to pat them on the back. You have to say something in reference to that they're trying to make you feel better. They're trying to make you feel good, you know? And when you see that effort coming out, you have to reciprocate. You have to sort of let them know, you know, I really appreciate what you're doing. Thank you so much. I love you, whatever sentiment you want to throw to that person. It don't hurt to bring something home every now and then, unexpected. No birthday, no anniversary, no nothing, just something unexpected, you know? And the same thing goes with the groups that you're in. If you're in a group, see what I'm saying? Do something unexpected for the group, especially if you're running the group, if you're in charge of the group. Do something unexpected for the group, and they'll appreciate it because they're there. If they're there, that means they appreciate you as a leader. They appreciate you as a person that's doing things for them. So try to do something unexpected for the group. It might cost a couple of dollars, but if you're in charge of the group, you should have a few pennies in your pocket where you can do something extra for the group where the group will appreciate it, you know what I'm saying? And all that makes a difference, you know? And if you're in charge of running a group, doesn't hurt to send out a little letter of thank you every now and then to the members or to the people in your group. Don't hurt at all, you know what I mean? So these are just little things that bring us closer together if we're working or we're doing something or if we're trying to. I'm over 5 minutes. I get talking about a lot, especially this part here with the language thing, because that's so important because we our communication with each other is actually terrible, okay? So now, before I get into, the next thing is the Bible code book, okay, or religious book. That's very important because as a religion, now we have a lot of religious groups in this country, but none of them have any power. There's a reason why they have money and no power, because they're dealing with the Bible as a religious book, and it's not a religious book. It can be used as a religious book to gain money. Money gives you strong influence, but we need power. So we need to decipher the codes of the book to get the power. Now, starting next Sunday, right? Now, about 3 Sundays ago, I put the question on the board. We're writing in Genesis. It's going to be a while before we get out of Genesis because your mind has to be set to a certain point to go through Genesis as a code book, or it's not going to make sense to you. So I said, like I said, in the beginning, God created heavens and earth. Now, if you're thinking in terms of religion, you know, that's beyond your ability to understand. So you say, well, God worked in the mysterious way, God of this. But we're dealing with it as a code when it says Psalm 82, you're all gods. That means that that man that made the heavens and the earth was a man. It was one of your ancestors, a man or a woman. One of your ancestors, because that's what God is according to the book. Code-wise, that's what God is. Now, if you can upgrade your mind to thinking that men and women made the sun, the moon, and the stars, then you saying that's your potential too. It's telling you you have the potential to do that. And if you go into what the scientists are doing now, they're working on cold fusion. They're working on ways to put satellites and stuff like that. That's what the moon is. The moon is a satellite. They're working on ways to put satellites up there. They didn't limit themselves because when they wanted to fly, they didn't limit themselves. They went outside and flapped their arms. They couldn't move. They didn't stop there because they went from being a man to being a god. As God, nature don't hold you because you made nature. So this is what the first thing in the book is trying to tell you, what your potential is. Your potential is unlimited. Now, starting this Sunday, going through, because it's going to be hard to understand Genesis the code without giving you the backdrop of who this God is and where he came from. That was the question I posed 3 weeks ago, and the numbers didn't light up where somebody could tell me who this God is and where he is. You know what I'm saying? Although so many people online know my thoughts on it because I already explained it. So every Sunday, all the way through November, we're going to go through where you came from, how you got here, okay? Well, we're going to go through who God is, where God is, why you're here, and how you're here, how you got here. This is what we're going to go through for the next 4 Sundays. Now remember, if you have a comment, you want to jump in, or if you think, something might be a little off or something, you want to say, you just want to give a shout-out, press 1 on your dial, but let me know you have a hand up, and I'll let you come in and you can make your comments, okay? Now, we're not going to debate the book with you. We don't do that because from a religious perspective, religious questions can't actually be answered. You only can give your opinion on what you think they are. Religious questions, okay? So when you ask a religious question, all right, I'm going to refer you to the code, and then you can deal with it any way that you want. You understand what I'm saying? If you ask me a religious question, okay? Now, with that being said, okay, Psalm 82 says that you're God. Now, let's think about this, okay? My concept of religion, okay, what we're giving off as religion. Religion is realigning yourself with source energy. That's religion. Why would you say realigning yourself with source energy? Now, let's go back to the first motion. I don't say beginning, but because there really is no beginning to all this. So let's go back to the first motion, right? You're talking about the uncaused cause, something that caused everything to exist, and nothing caused it to exist. That's as far back as you can go. As far back as my mind or anybody else's mind, as far as I know, can go. But then you get into the children. Well, who made them? Well, who made them? Well, who made them? Well, who made them? Only little children used to say, well, who made that? Well, who made that? Well, you have to go. You have to come to an uncaused cause conclusion sooner or later. Okay? Now, the uncaused cause, well, let's deal with creation. Okay, that's another big mind blower. Nothing was created. Because in order to create, you have to make something from nothing. You can't make something from nothing. According to our culture, which is what you sow, okay, you got to put something out to get something back, right? So you have to use something to make something. And the uncaused cause was energy, pure energy. So when this energy went into motion, things started to develop from this energy, which means that I'm updating here, which means that you are made of this energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed, according to our culture, which is science. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. So that means that nothing was created. Everything was made. Made by who? Now let's get to how we got into this dimension. I'm going to go through this for the next 4 Sundays, okay? Because we have people coming in line, and some hear it, some don't know it, so we're going to go through it for the next 4 Sundays. And then we're going to go into to a regular topic, okay? Now, we're incorporeal energy formed in flesh, which means there's an incorporeal dimension coming through the black hole up near Sirius A, Sirius B. That's how we came in. Incorporeal energy gives off gas. They were concerned about this gas igniting, burning a hole in both dimensions. So they came from the incorporeal dimension into the physical dimension, okay, to check the gas. What incorporeal energy and corporeal energy combined, they made Sirius A, Sirius B. It was Sirius C too, but we're going to say Sirius A, Sirius B. Those were two suns dense enough, okay, to hold off the pull going through the black hole up near Sirius A and B. So what they did, those two suns were a test to see that if they ignited some of the gas, that the gas wouldn't burn through the entire, wouldn't burn a hole in the dimension, okay? So it worked because of subspace, which flows through everything in the universe causing motion. I am just going through this right quick. I'm going through it right quick. You can ask me questions later on or whatever, but you can really check some of this stuff out with the top scientists, okay? Some of the scientists won't give you this information or won't talk about this because it goes against the Darwinian theory. I'm saying theory because, see, in our culture, we deal with facts. Darwin is a theory. It's not a fact, okay? So a lot of times they don't get into this type of dialogue. So after we made the first two suns so that everything was working, we began making planets, all right? That's the thought process and how you got here, how you got into this dimension, all right? Now, well, let's go back to Genesis when it says, let us make man. Now, since we know that we can't create anything, that everything is made from something, and everything is made from source energy. That's why we say realigning yourself with source energy, knowing who you are. You are the universe expanding. You are the universe in an expanding mode, so you have no limit. And your potential is unlimited. That's why in Psalms 82 it says you are all gods. If you are man, there's restrictions placed on you in all of the books. If you're a woman, there's a restriction placed on you in all of the books. But if you're a God, you have no restrictions on you. What we did 100 years ago, look at what we're doing now. When I was born, we didn't have no TV. We listened to Joe Louis by the radio. Now you got TV on your watch. You can watch TV while you're walking down the street, you know, eating ice cream cone. This is only the beginning, because if your ancestors, think about this, made the sun, moon, and stars, what kind of technology were they dealing with? There's a black satellite up there that's been up there for thousands of years. They don't know where it came from or how it got up there. And the technology to keep it up there, they haven't caught up with it yet. See what I'm saying? That's the problem with the Darwinian theory. How can we be further advanced yesterday than we are today if we're coming from this little cave guy, walking on all fours and starting to stand up and walking through the planet? It just don't make sense once you start dealing with the Bible as a code book, because you have to think. See, your mind expands now because you say, well, if man did that, you know what I mean? Who, what were they doing? How did they do this here? What were they about when they done this? Now, the 1%, they use the book as a code book. That's why you have the scientific laboratories and everything else doing what they're doing, because they know that nature does not control or limit them, because they are beyond nature, and so are you. When somebody asks you who is God, God is in your mirror, according to the Bible. God is in your mirror, which means that what do you want to do? What do you want? You can do whatever you want because you have the potential. That's why Yahshua, when he calls Jesus, said, he that eateth of me will do greater works than what I did. You know what I'm saying? Because of your potential. Jesus brought back the dead. You can flatline a day, they hit you with electricity, you wake right back up and get on out of the house and go about your business. So yeah, stay dead right now. But the things, the potential of what was being done is upon you right now. There's nothing in the universe that you cannot do. The question is, okay, what do you want and how bad you want it and what sacrifices are you willing to make to stop with all these distractions that they're throwing at you to get what you want? No more watching the games. No more watching the Game of Thrones and all that kind of stuff. That's nonsense. That's a distraction to keep you occupied while they're stealing your money, your wealth. They're taking over countries, murdering, killing everything else, and you're distracted. You know, sitting here, I'm a Philly fan. Come on, man. You don't own the stadium. You don't own the team. You know, you might can bet on the team, but for you and your family, there's no economic, unless you're gambling. Now, if you're gambling on the Phillies, okay, well, then you and your family can make some money. But that's not an economic structure for you. It was at one time until we started protesting, and they took it from you. You know, we're going to get into that in a couple of minutes, you know. But after the commercial, we're going to get into marching. Is it part of the political process, or is it a waste of time? You know what I mean? How are they using our marching to take our stuff from us? I mean, this thing is deep. But once you begin to wake up and start thinking along a certain line, all right, don't let nobody tell you, sisters out there, don't be a woman, be a God. Brothers out there, don't be a man, be a God. Don't listen to the restrictions that they place on women. Don't listen to the restrictions that they place on men. You have no restrictions. This is the problem I have with the way they're teaching religion. See what I'm saying? And they try to dumb down you on Psalm 82. Well, we got the big G and the little G. If you studied Hebrew, there are no upper and lowercase letters. So there was never a big G and a little G. They're trying to dumb you down from your potential. Because once you wake up to your potential, okay, you're unstoppable. Unstoppable. Because you know whatever you're not doing today, you'll be able to do it tomorrow. All you got to do is study. Look it up, okay? There's an exercise that my dad used to give me when I was little. He said, draw a circle, and in the middle of the circle, get in the middle of a circle. Watch how things go around and around, and see how everybody is doing what they're doing. And when you're ready, reach up and grab what you want. Don't get on the outside of the circle, start chasing around and around and around. Look at what's going on around you. Study. Everything that I'm telling you now, as far as what's going on out there in that universe, okay, they're working on it. The 1% is working on it. You don't believe me? Google up the science things and what they're doing out there. They're calculating, okay, the little machines that go to Mars. They're figuring this out. They're off the planet, okay? The most sophisticated machine that was built in the 80s, taking them off the planet, was built by Colonel Gregory. That's a black man. Built by Colonel Gregory, okay? The most sophisticated machine ever built in the United States was built by a black guy. They know who you are, but you don't know who you are. That's why you're in the mess that you're in. Africa, okay, that's a landmass. That does not define who you are. You're greater than all the planets out there in the universe. That defines who you are, not some little landmass. This earth don't even define who you are. You know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to, it's on every hour, so I'm going to have to hold up for a minute and go into the commercial because I have, you know, some people listen to the commercial and they're going to check the commercial out to see if they want to change something in the commercial. And I told them I start the commercial at 8:30. So we're going to start at commercial 8:30. So y'all bear with me. I apologize that the commercial is a little long because we don't charge for the commercial. We want to get back to some of the people that's been given to us, okay? my name is Elohim, and okay, let me pull the commercial up here. okay. All righty then. Oh, it's taking long to get this thing up here. It's taking longer to get it up than it is to do the commercial. I'm telling you. Unbelievable. well, I did say I'm a little tired today. It's been a long day. Okay, Elohim Five Tribes of the Constellation Elohim. We changed the name from Osiris to Elohim. I hope y'all don't mind. Didn't mind when they changed it to Ryan Bell. Shouldn't mind when we changed it to Elohim, okay? At 8 to 9 p.m. Philadelphia time. We're on the air. The call-in number is 516-453-9230. Press 1 if you want to talk, if you got something to say, and we'll bring you on and you can make your comment, okay? We do not mention your name. we only mention the last 4 digits of your phone number, okay? So if you want to mention your name, you can, all right? if you want to give a shout-out or something, or just say hi, you can do that too. Just press 1, all right? So now we have released a gospel CD. I have a gospel CD on the market. It's called Jesus is Coming. The link is CD/Elohim Christ 2. That's the number 2, so check it out. We can also catch me on YouTube. Just click Elohim 10 Tracks, Jesus is Coming. We ask ourselves, when Jesus is coming back, where is he coming from? We think he's coming from the same place he came from the first time, out of the goddess's womb, okay? So you sisters out there, be mindful of what you're dumping. That child you dump just might be the one to get us out of this mess we're in. So don't take our chance on us. We need those babies. Just remember, it takes 2 to make them, brother, so it takes 2 to take care of them, okay? Don't forget to check out my book, The Radical Scriptures, Part 2, A Christ Has Come. For more information on the CD or book, call TCCA at 215-758-1703 from 9 to 5, okay? Also, I'm in the gold business, so if you want to know how to buy and sell gold, you need a little gold in your pocket, you can call the same number, 215-758-1703, okay? I'm not going to list my email address. I'm not going to list my website and all that right now. I'm a little bit behind. Please don't forget to, well, there we go. I would like to give a shout out to Horace Butler for his book, When Rocks Cry Out. This is a brother that I like him because he actually understands history and he fills in the missing pieces with proof, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Legacy of a Nation, hosted by Brother Matt Consum, comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern. They talk about black history, health, economics, politics. The call-in number is 319-527-6199. And if we go through these numbers too fast, just put your hand up and we'll give it to you again, okay? I would like to give a shout out to Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube under the name Kimitra 11. She has a spoken word, and I like the word she speaks, so check her out. I'd like to give a shout out to the Nikki Love Show. She's a spiritual reader and advisor. She comes on YouTube at Nikki Love Unam. Her calling number is 909-749-8626. You can also catch her on YouTube. Now I've done some. She's a spiritual advisor. She does spiritual reading. I do spiritual reading myself. I did one on her. She did one on me, and it's pretty good. You know, I need to get another one. I'd like to give a shout out to Division 121, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, UNACL, 1918 and 1929 of the world. We meet every week. For more information, contact President Mark P., UNA, at 267-822-2320. Okay. I also like to give a shout out to the UAIA. They're offering land to build on in Africa, RBG Industries. They make designer clothes, buttons, and flags. So if you want a good tailor-made outfit or land, just give Brother Siddiqui a call at 609 638 5828. Okay, I didn't hit the wrong button here. Okay. I think I'm moving too fast for my own good. Okay. And I also like to give a shout out to Save More Electronics. The call in number is 215-909-3352 from 9 to 5. Little stick my chest out a little bit. That's my son's electric company. He's done some electric work around here. He's pretty good, you know. Now he's doing some electric work for the big boys. I need to get him back over here with me. You know what I mean? Now, the brother that was giving out his number for security jobs, he's not hiring right now. So I'm not going to give out his number at this particular time until he contacts me again and let me know when to start giving it out. I would like to give a shout out to Tom Thornton, who writes under the name of T. Thornton. He has an old school style out of Philadelphia. He has 6 CDs on the market. Just Google YouTube, Heaven 2019, TEE.Thornton. For more information, call 267-259-4077. If you listen to my CD on YouTube, you hear some of the great harmony. He helped me with the harmony, and he had a pretty good voice. I'd like to give a shout out to Taylor Tuck Learning Academy, licensed and certified. She's a registered nurse who's currently in medical school and will soon be a doctor. I'm sticking my chest out again. That's another one of my babies. Taylor Tide has a before and after school service in the West Philadelphia area. So for best quality children's service, call 610-638-8352 from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Email address is taylortidelearningacademy@gmail.com. I'd like to give a shout out to our resident naturopathic healers. We got Dr. Paul. His number is 215-779-7355. And if you call Dr. Paul, he will give you a free herb chart. And right about now, we need some free herbs. We need to know something about some herbs as well. And his number is 215-779-7355. And Dr. Bill, his number is 631-561-3864. He also has a water purification system. So if anybody's interested in a water purification system, give Dr. Bill a call, okay? So if you're sick and don't have one of these specialists on speed dial, you need to be sick. Nah, nobody needs to be sick. So just give one of these guys a call. And don't worry, if you call them, you're definitely going to be healthy, okay? So now let's get back to where we were here. Let's go into the next phase of this thing. Marching. Okay, let's talk about marching. Oh boy, oh boy. Is it good or is it just a waste of time? You know, is it part of the political process or is it just a waste of time? That's what we're talking about right now. You know what I mean? Now, what did black people have taken away from them when they started to protest? We had our own baseball leagues. They took baseball from us. They used marching as a distraction, right? We had basketball. They took that from us. They didn't shut basketball down. They just took it from us. We don't have no more basketball league. We had our own football leagues, okay? They took that away from us, even though they didn't shut football down, but they took football away from us. Now, we marched. They took hospitals. Now, the first black hospital was a provincial hospital in Chicago. They took our hospitals from us. We were teaching nurses in schools. In the hospital, they took that from us. What else did they take while we were marching? They took our bus line. Think about that. Now, there's something. You really got to think about this for a minute, people. Come on. We out there marching because somebody won't let us ride on their bus. That's like me going to your house pissed off, holding up a sign because you won't let me ride in your car. You know what I mean? We had our own bus line. This is what I'm saying. I'm going to say it again. For those of you who don't, who might not believe what I'm saying, we had our own bus line. It was called Worthy Crawford. It was a black-owned bus line, and this bus line drove the civil rights movement. Okay, when they couldn't get nowhere, we had our own bus line to take us places. They took protesting, trying to ride on their bus lines. They took our bus line from us. That's what they do. So we're marching, we're protesting out there now. Now, that's why I asked the question, is it part of the political process or is it a waste of time? We marched in the 60s, and the guy, he's not with us now, the congressman, I forget his name, the speech he made in the 60s, they had him make the speech on television now, and he's saying the same thing. So we have to ask ourselves, how much of a benefit is actually marching and protesting doing for us? There's another side to the marching. If we're going to march, we have to organize the voting process as to who we're going to put in office, especially locally. That's where we're screwing up. These judges that are locking up all our children, we need to vote them out. But you don't even know who the judges are. Because when it comes time to vote for the judges, what are you doing? You're playing Game of Thrones, you're watching the football, the basketball game is on. You're being distracted. All these sports and stuff is distracting you from what they're doing to take what you have from you. They're constantly taking your stuff. You know what I mean? This is your country. This is your land. You were here when they got here. They took it. They didn't have no picket signs out there when they were talking to the Indians. They had guns, musket, biological warfare. That's what they were using on the Indians. They ain't no picket signs up there. They came in and they took what they wanted. And they still using different things to distract you to take what they want. When are you going to wake up and smell a coffee? Let's go back to Abraham as a code book, okay? As a code. Deal with Abraham as a code. Not as a religious story, but as a code, okay? Abraham let y'all deal with just three of them, him and his wife and his nephew. His nephew, as they sojourned across Africa, his nephew, right, got kidnapped and taken by another city. He took an army and went in and rescued his nephew. Where did he get an army from? That's the code. That's the question you have to ask when you're dealing with the code. The army was in the diaspora of the people that was raised around him. How many of you sending your children to martial arts class? How many of you children sending your children to gaming classes where they know how to fire weapons and military tactics and all that? How many of you doing that? How many of you preparing your children for war? Not that you have to fight none, but your children should be prepared. If you got five boys, and they're 18 and over, when you pick up your phone, somebody messing with you, they supposed to come here well armed, ready to go. You're supposed to have a crew. You understand what I'm saying? But you don't have a crew because that's not what you, you're not using the Bible as a code book. You're using it as a religious book. It's a code book. We need to start building our military. Where's your military? They're out there killing each other in the street because you're not giving them nobody to shoot at. They don't know who to shoot at, so they're shooting each other. You see what I'm saying? Parents, you need to not only wake up and smell the coffee, you need to drink some of the coffee. Because you guys are sleep. I'm just saying, you know, we're dealing with as a code book, not as a religious book. See, now if I was dealing with a religious book, there'd be all kinds of opinions coming in. Whether, well, he was Tutmosis and he was this and he was that, and we'll go on and on and argue for the next 10 years, but our children won't be prepared to fight. Our children won't be prepared to defend their parents if somebody messes up. We ain't supposed to be calling them 911. The crooks are supposed to be calling 911 to get out your house when they come in. You know what I mean? They're supposed to bring their phone with them because they're the ones that gonna need rescuing. If they come in my house, they better have a cell phone with them. They're gonna have to call somebody to get out. You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about. When we're dealing with a code book, we don't have power. We have money, but we don't have power. You know, my friends say every Saturday on his radio show, if it was just dealing with money, we'd be the 25th largest nation on the planet. If we're just dealing with money. So we got money, but we ain't got no power. Why don't we have power? Who's got more money than the Pope? But the Pope don't have no ships on the sea. The Pope don't have no strong military out there, no jets in the sky, no nuclear weapons. But the Pope got strong influence. Now he don't mess with the Pope. Pope put that influence out there, no telling what might happen. You know what I'm saying? But he not in a position to put boots on the ground to go deal with another country. That's not a position the Pope said. He's in a position of influence, not in a position of power. His influence gives him power in a certain sector. You know what I'm saying? Let the Pope walk down one of these hoods without his little case up. He'd be in trouble. You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. We need power right now, okay? And the power is all around you. Your children are the power of a nation. Let's go to Moses right quick. I'm just dealing with, quickly, just doing a couple of codes here, you know. What was so important about the story of Moses? He was Egyptian. Hey, nah, that doesn't even matter. What matters is that when he left, he set up a centralized banking system for his crew. He told all of them to bring 10% into the Levites. That was a centralized banking system. Black people, I'm asking you now, where is your centralized banking system? Are you thinking about a centralized banking system? Come on. Here we go again. The Queen of England has a centralized banking system that she controls in the United States. Which one is that? It's called the Federal Reserve Bank. The Federal Reserve Bank is a privately owned bank owned by the Queen. Now, if you Google that, you can't get the Queen as an owner. What you're going to get is that it's controlled by the Senate and the Congress. All right? You follow what I'm saying? And the president, that's who controls the Federal Reserve Bank. But if you Google a little further, it will tell you that the Queen owns the federal government and the Americas. I'm not making this up. You can Google this. You follow what I'm saying? You can check this out for yourself. They're controlling the money. They're controlling everything. While you, what are you doing? Oh, you're trying to catch the baseball. You're trying to throw football down the hoop. You're trying to, you're being distracted from the real reality of what's going on. This is why they're killing your children in the street. And there's nothing you can do about it but run around with a picket sign because you don't have any power. You follow what I'm saying? You see what happened when those couple of kids got out there and started shooting a couple of cops. Things slowed down a little bit. Yeah, they bleed just like anybody else. Well, we don't want to give the good cops a bad name because of what a few bad cops are doing, but they bleed like everybody else. I'm saying, when you're dealing with the book as a code book, and you ask yourself, let's go a little further here. You ask yourself, why are we broke? Why am I broke? Okay? Let's go to the story of Joseph. I'm just running these straight things down. Then I'm going to try to open up the mic and get some conversation here. But let's deal with the story of Joseph. You're dealing with it as a religious book. Oh, he threw him in a hole and his little father didn't treat the children right and all that. That's religion. Everybody got their opinion about what the story is about. But how did Joseph save Kemet? He told Pharaoh, eat half the grain. Save half the grain. That's the 50% budget. Wouldn't you like to have half of the money that you spent over these years? But nobody's telling you about the 50% budget, and it's right in the book because it's a code to tell you. If you can't save half your money, you're living beyond your means. They're telling you 10%. As soon as something happens, that 10% is gone. You need to be saving 50% of your money, and then you need to go into real estate, okay? You need to buy property. You need to buy land. Land is what it's all about. Every time they fight, what are they fighting over? They fight over, they all go on land, okay? Everywhere you go, on planet right now, they're rumbling over the land. Whose territory is this? Who owns that? That's where your power's at. And they're looking at Africa. Most of the resources on the planet right now is centered in Africa. That means Africa is going to rise. It's going to be one of the most wealthiest continents on the planet. What are you doing to be a part of that? What are you doing to embrace this new economics that's coming out of Africa? Some of those cities over there have the fastest growing economies on the planet. Are you preparing for that? What are you doing? No, you're not preparing. Now, why? Because you're half sick. Because the church is telling you that you can eat any darn thing. And the Bible is telling you different. Genesis 1:29. Herbs and seed bearing plants was given to you for meat. That's your meat, not flesh. Okay? You're not supposed to be eating flesh. And when they tell you you can eat any living thing, that includes human beings. What, are you going to be a cannibal now? You got to think about what's going on because once God puts something out, I'm talking about you. Once you come in consciousness and you put something out, there's no reason to change it because it's the best that can be put out at the time. And that Genesis diet is the best diet that you can be on. Now, you think they not on top of this Genesis diet? Go Google the Genesis diet. Man, you get so many hits on the Genesis diet because they know they're supposed to be living 200 to 250 years. That's what we down to 60, 70, 80 years old. That's crazy. I'm here to give you a wake-up call. okay? You're all God's children of the Most High. Didn't write it, okay? That's a code, all right? Everywhere in that book where they talk about God, they're talking about a man or a woman. That's what they're talking about. There's nothing spooky about the Bible. Everything is so spooky. No, they made it spooky to get your money. All right? Now, what you need to do is come together with your aunts, your uncles, your nieces, your nephews. Start calling them. Call around. Call your whole diaspora. Find out what's up. Find out what they're doing. You follow what I'm saying? Try to find some kind of way to centralize your family's economics because your family got money. All right? You might be broke. You might be sitting there, man, I ain't got no money. Get the bus next week. But your family got money. And most diasporas, there's 600 to 700 people. And out of those 600 to 700 people, if you get one hierarchy in the family and have them somebody that the family can trust, and everybody starts sending a certain percentage of their money to that particular group, you'll have a centralized banking system for your diaspora, for your family. You see what I'm saying? Now you're getting the money, and you deal with Abraham, and you start training your children the art of war. You know what I mean? Now you have power. You can put, if you got 600 or 700 people in your diaspora, 600 to 700 people in your diaspora, and you need 100 people to secure something, all you got to do is pick up the phone. Now you can put boots on the ground, all coming from your tribe. You know what I'm saying? That's why they don't want you to think in terms of tribe. They want you to think in terms of family. Now, I went too far here. But now, when you think in terms of family, family is not mama, papa, baby. That's not the family, okay? I'm just dropping. That's not the family. Family is the economic structure that you have to take care of your tribe. Okay, what economic structure do you have to take care of all your children and everything? Come on, this is how you're supposed to be thinking. Because why are you supposed to be thinking like this? Because you're not a man or a woman, you are a God. That's what I'm saying. You're incorporeal energy walking around in this little flesh suit. Okay, there's so much that you can do once you stop thinking of the Bible as a code book. Is one of the most powerful books that I've ever read. Okay? Next week, I'm going to go through the political thing where they tell you what the king is going to do. Once you take on a king or get that leadership set up, what they're going to do and how they're going to treat you. It's right in the book. I mean, it tells you what they're going to do. Have your children run beside the chariots and all that stuff. It's like you're doing with the president right now. The president is the God, okay, of this country. Why do you think they fighting so hard for the slot? He's the God of this country. And what he said starts to become law. That's what they fighting for. They want a white guy in charge. They don't want no black guy in charge. So there's a racial thing. There's a racial mixture going on too, because the Europeans are minority. They are minority here. They make it sound like they're a majority, but they ain't a majority here. If you link all the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans and the Haitians and the Chinese and the Japanese, all those are black people. You link all of them together, they are a minority here, not a majority. And they're trying to keep minority rule around the country, hence white supremacy. Okay? I went too far. I got about 6 minutes left. I got carried away tonight. I apologize. Are you going to get this fired up? Let me open the mic. Come on. What my brother said. 1927, your mic is open. You have a comment. Now, if anybody got a comment, just press 1, and you can jump right in and say whatever you have to say. But 1927, you're on the air. You have a comment or something you want to say? I'm sorry, I only got about 5 minutes. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, brother, good evening, sir. This is Brother Mac. I had a flash. As you were describing the saving of 10% and putting it in a central place, and the flash that I had was the let's see, the Pope I think requires 10% from all over the world.
Right.
And all as a result, and you mentioned he's very rich, but doesn't have any power, especially military power. And the other flash was Las Vegas, Nevada, where they have all of these multi-million dollar casinos that have been built with union dues over which the government has no control. But the union leaders have the ability to loan the money out to their mob buddies, and their mob buddies build the casinos. And if it goes bust, so what? There's no accounting. I don't know if you'd have anything to say about that as an example of pooling resources. But I had those two flashes, and I want to say that I appreciate having you bring to our attention who we are and how we got to be the way that we are. And so with time running out, thank you for the opportunity to express myself.
Well, thank you very much, my beloved. I appreciate it. We have another call on the line. That means the mob have a centralized banking system. You know what I mean? Something that we should have, but we don't. And I appreciate you bringing that up to our attention. 5828, your mic is open. You have a comment or a statement you'd like to make to us right now?
Peace, Brother Elohim. How are you doing? This is Brother Siddiqui.
Peace, Brother Siddiqui. What's up?
What's up? Just wanted to join in on your conversation. I just want to elaborate on the fact that you reference us as being gods, which I definitely agree with. You know, I don't think we're nothing.
Say that again. I can't hear you. You're not coming through. I think your call dropped out for some reason. Well, Big Brother having a little fun. anyway, thank you for the comment. So maybe you call back in. And I did the same thing last week when he was talking. Maybe because you just come back from Africa and they worry about what you're going to say to us. That's what I'm talking about. All right, well, what I'm going to do, just in case brother call back in, I'm going to give my closing assertion. And then I'll give us about a minute or so to just close out what we're doing here, you know. I have walked the path as divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done, okay? Now, the reason why I say assertion, because we got about 90 seconds. The reason why I don't say assertion is because we don't actually, if I'm God, who am I praying to? So since the entire universe works for me, all I have to do is just express my desire to the universe, and it will come back to me through action and reaction. That's how things work, you know? That's why they come out with the tape. What you think about, you bring about. All that's part of our culture, you know what I mean? The caller has said he never came back online. I don't know how the call got dropped. But I like to thank everybody that's on the line. I really appreciate it. And those that are online that are part of the society, the first Monday at 6 o'clock, we'll be having our talk about the society. So he came on and shut off again. This is crazy. Oh, wait a minute. There we go. Hold on. Let me give him the last 30 seconds here. Yes, 7562. We only have about 30 seconds, so if you want to.
This is Brother Siddiqui, and I don't know why that got cut off of my phone, so I don't know. 30 seconds is 30 seconds. I just wanted to let you know that the fact that, yes, we are the gods, and I was just wondering how we were able to be conquered to lose our position at, you know, against the
okay,
gods who was able to, you know. But I know the time is short, and we just have to. I know the time is limited. So, appreciate the opportunity.
But, well, thank you very much, brother. I appreciate you calling. And our downfall actually started with Isis and Osiris. When they start making everybody God and they became deity, that's when our downfall started, because we stopped living up to our potential because we thought we was less than and not equal to. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Everybody was on the line. And don't forget that the first Monday in November, we'll be dealing with the society's business. So you can call them at 6 o'clock. Okay. This is Brother Raheem. I like to say, I love you. And remember, love is an act that makes others feel good.
Much love, my brother.